The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.
Welcome everybody to another edition of The Back Page, and what a crew we have today. Tell you, the charismatic Alan Cawley, the knowledgeable Shane Mahan, and the one and only Johnny Ward.
The one and only.
Welcome, guys.
As Robbie Irwin always introduces everyone, the one and only.
No, I've only... You're the one and only, Johnny. I'm
How are
you,
we, Bernardo?
You're the man for all seasons.
All good.
Welcome, everybody. And we had a good week last week, Shane, didn't we? A lot of winners.
Oh, plenty of winners, Bernardo. I don't know where to start. Alan on his debut gave us Dele Alli. He was 12-1 at the time. We doubled him out to 24-1 because he scored inside the first 20 minutes. That's a heck of a debut.
Beautiful. I think some people are comparing my debut last week with Rooney's for United in the Champions League.
When
he scored a hat-trick against Fenerbahce. It was that good.
Oh, I tell you, we had a good week. And to our listeners, we'll go and try and make a few pounds this week as well, if we can, or a few euro. What we're going to do is we're going to start off with the soccer, guys. And just what a week, though, in sport this week. If you look at Mick McCarthy, Stephen Kenny, Joe Schmidt then. And then we had Robbie Keane's retirement. And on a serious note, isn't it great that Fernando is alive and well in Ballybrack?
Can you hear the bells,
I said,
Fernando?
We couldn't get any worse. I said, are they making this stuff up? Alan, quickly on
incredible
that.
Story, Bernie. Incredible.
It was mind-blowing.
In all the years I've been involved with the sport, I've never heard anything like it. I really haven't. It was just...
did you hear the WhatsApp going around? There's a WhatsApp going around.
Oh, there's some brilliant ones.
The videos going around.
The 4-3-2 formation in the graveyard.
I'd love to know the thought process, because they must have just come up with this idea. And before they knew it, they were in so deep, they just had to run
it.
With
was it. Like when Homer faked his own death, you know, and like all of a sudden just got completely out of hand, like where they're cutting off the power to the house and everything. It was like they're trying to donate money to the fund and they're like, oh no, we better tell them he's alive, like, you know.
Well, instead of turning the lights off at Christmas, he's turning all the lights off in Ballybrack on Christmas Eve. Fernando.
He's a hero now, Fernando.
He's a hero. I said he's a celebrity.
He was living in Galway, though, wasn't he, I think?
He hadn't played with the team in a long time. He had moved down to Galway.
The problem is, I hope this happens years and years and years down the line, but when he eventually does, you know, pass on to the next world, people won't believe him. Do you know what I mean? Nah, we've been here before.
Okay, on a serious note, we'll start off with the soccer. Some big games this weekend. And Alan, before we do, and Johnny, I know you're a soccer lover, look at the end, the bottom eight in the Premiership. 4 points. That's all that's separating the bottom eight teams. Some big games. Just before we go into Derby Sunday, as you know, three big games. But there's a 6-pointer, Crystal Palace against Burnley. Massive, Alan, this weekend.
Huge game, Bernard. I've seen both teams play over the weekend, Crystal Palace against United, and they probably should have got more out of the game. They got a good point, but they had chances to take all 3 points. Hugely positive result for them. And I said this on last week's show, I really like Hodgson. I know you were laughing at me, but I do like him. He's a decent fella.
Great result.
Yeah, he's had a great career in the game. Highly respected, and I think he's doing a decent job with Crystal Palace considering where they were when he came in. Obviously kept them up last year. This year they haven't really hit the ground running, but they've been playing quite well, and they should have won against United.
Should have won that game. Yeah,
they should have. They had great chances. Townsend at the end particularly. And then I watched Burnley on Monday night against Newcastle, and they were very
2-1.
Poor, very poor, Bernard. Never started
poor,
the game well.
It
yeah, because I think Newcastle are average as well. But to be fair to Benitez, you have to give him credit. How he's pulling the results out of nowhere, really, there with the limited resources, they haven't given him anything. Really,
he's an incredible manager.
It's unreal.
He's absolutely incredible.
I feared for them so much at the start. I said, "There's not a hope. They'll be gone." And I think it was, who did I hear speaking about it? Saying it was Carragher actually, because he dealt with him at Liverpool, obviously, with Benitez. He says the only reason he gives Newcastle hope is because of Benitez, how good he is. And he's proven that again. They've 3 wins on the bounce now. I fear for Burnley. And it just goes to show, Bernard, all about, like, a lot of talk at the moment with the Irish job and where will Stephen Kenny's stock be in 2 years compared to where it might be now. You look at Sean Dyche. This time last year, he had a chance to go to Everton and turned it down. And you look at the scenario he's in now, 6 months on. Nobody would be touting him for a big job now. He's struggling to stay in the Premier League. I watched him on Monday. They were very poor. And I think Crystal Palace will beat Burnley.
What's the odds there, Shane?
The odds on the Palace-Burnley match, Bernard, 3 o'clock kickoff, of course, over the weekend. Palace are 4-7. Odds on 27-10 about the draw. Burnley are 11-2 in the 90-minute betting.
It's big, but I can see why it's so big.
Yeah, I think that's the best price you'll get on Burnley. But Palace were very, very good at Old Trafford, I have to say. Like, I think Man United are quite poor at home a lot of the time. Even against Newcastle, they are poor. But Palace, they look very, very solid at the back. And if Zaha's playing, Palace without Zaha are a completely different proposition. But he will be playing, and I'd expect him to win.
United are playing Southampton at home. I mean, They're in serious trouble.
But he's fighting for his job as well.
Yeah, 7 points, 18th.
They've been desperate, Hughes. I'm surprised he's still there, to be honest. I thought he'd be gone by now, Bernard. But it's two poor teams. I agree with Johnny. Man United are very poor. I said it last week. I've no time for them. I think they should just cut ties with Mourinho now. I watched them against Palace. I watched them again during the week against Young Boys. And it's going to take a seismic shift for them to turn anything around, even just to get in the top four, never mind overcome the likes of Man City and Liverpool. And it's going to take hundreds of millions because there's so much surgery needed on that team. And Mourinho, there's a huge discontent. You saw his reaction.
Where would you start with his reaction?
So his reaction was
shocking. I was just going to ask about, young Rashford, right, who tried his heart out the other night. Things didn't go well from
now. We should have scored, fair enough.
But the way he turned around, and that spoiled brat.
His behaviour is atrocious.
It was shocking.
It is. And you go through, them days are gone now. You go through all the managers, and it doesn't have to be the high profile ones like Klopp and Guardiola, Sarri. You look at the likes of Eddie Howe, the way he conducts himself, these type of managers and the behaviour. Wagner at Huddersfield as well, getting beat and still has the dignity to come out and give a good, honest assessment after the games. Never gets too high, never gets too low. Then you look at Mourinho, arguably the biggest job in the world, and he does nothing but moan, whinge, cry. You see him picking up the bottles, throwing them on the ground. I think they should cut ties with him, get rid of him now, because it's never going to happen for him at Man United.
Shane, just before we go, and Johnny, ask you this question. I mean, look at Cardiff at home against Wolves. Wolves were beaten at Huddersfield last week, two at home, 2-0. That was a big one. If you look at it, Cardiff are actually 19th. If they win, they could possibly move up to 15th, 16th, whatever it is. What's the odds, Cardiff and Wolves? Cardiff at home. I think they could actually pull a result here.
Cardiff. They're decent at home.
Give me 1 second now as this laptop loads. Cardiff 13-5. The draw 21-10. Wolves are 23-20. So shade of odds against a bit Wolves away to Cardiff.
Bit of value there, 13-5 at home.
In fairness to Warnock, like they look pretty much like a team that is very limited but actually knows what the team is doing. Like, and against Everton, they nearly pinched a result there, which would, like, obviously it kind of stemmed from that throw where Cardiff should have had a throw. Arthur kind of lost the plot a bit, and then they went down the field and scored. Their shape has just gone from one, but they have a bit of a chance, because it's like, I can't believe the price Man United are at Southampton. Like, as bad as they are, I think this is straightforward. Like, they'll win this game, absolutely. Like, I watched
what odds are they, Johnny, again?
They're like 4, 5, 10 to 11.
23 to 20 on, so just a shade of odds.
As bad as Man United are, like, away from home, Southampton are shocking.
Alan, you ain't listening. You ain't buying it.
It does look a hell of a price, but I couldn't back Man United with free money. With all your money, Bernard, all Johnny's money, Shane's money.
That's
I couldn't
not much,
back
Johnny.
Man United.
No.
I really couldn't. They're so bad. They're horrendous.
Just to mention briefly as well, before we leave the Southampton Man United match, it is a double odds match over the weekend. So click last weekend with Dele Alli, and hopefully we can have a first goal score inside the first 20 once again. Just a couple of prices. Lukaku's there at 9-2. He didn't start midweek. Sanchez was left out of the squad, I think, as well midweek, wasn't he? He's 5-1.
This is the sort of game that Lukaku is nailed on to finally score.
He hasn't scored in about 11 games.
He didn't do badly when he came off the bench. He had a good header from across, went wide. He just needs a bit of TLC, which he's probably not getting from his manager.
11 games, though, is a serious run for any striker to go without scoring, isn't it?
Man United to beat Southampton. I don't care what you say.
I think he's so limited, Lukaku.
He's not good enough, but in games like this, he will
well,
score.
Well, isn't that the name you always had, the flat track bully?
Yeah, he's not good enough in general play. He's not good enough against good teams.
What about, let's go to the derbies. Come on. On Sunday, we'll start Chelsea Fulham.
Big day Sunday. I'll be on the couch burner for the day. The fire will be lit, stretched out.
Do you have a fire,
day.
Do you?
Oh, Johnny, the fire plays in the last
often is it lit, though?
The whole country seen it on the news last weekend.
Yeah,
yeah.
Come on.
You haven't come near the place in weeks.
News debut
know,
last weekend.
9 o'clock, Dave, yeah. Some week for debuts last week. Yeah, the fire was blazing as well. I thought Dobbo was going to come out and share a glass of wine with me as well.
Chelsea got a bit of an eye-opener last weekend.
Spurs were great, though, Bernard.
They were brilliant.
And I said it last week, you should've were all laughing at me as well about Spurs. The job he's doing, Pochettino, is phenomenal. Great side. Won again last night in Europe.
Great win against Inter.
Brilliant against Chelsea. They really were.
Much better side when Son Heung-min is playing as well.
He's a very good player.
He should have scored a handful last week.
But the argument, Johnny, that people put up against Spurs, they don't have the squad, I think is absolute nonsense. You look at the squad they have. They have a serious squad.
They're very reliant on Kane.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I just don't see.
Will you? Eriksen, Dele Alli, Son Heung-min, Lamela's come in.
Yeah, they're not.
He's done quite
well. Goal scorers, though, really. Like, or they're not like natural front men. Like, I do think he's the key for them in terms of just like holding up the front line.
He'd be the key for any team, really. But Yeah, Spurs had a great win. They played really, really well, Bernard. And look, I said it all last week about Pochettino. I have huge time for him. I think he's a brilliant manager. Again, look at the way he conducts himself as well. They didn't spend a penny in the summer and there wasn't one moan or one whinge out of him.
But before we go into Arsenal, Spurs, tell Shane, any value on Chelsea v Fulham? What's the value?
Chelsea Fulham, that's the early kickoff on Sunday, 12 o'clock. Chelsea 11-2-1, the draw 6-1, and Fulham 16-1 in the 90-minute betting. Both teams to score, just a couple of other markets to bring up here. Both teams to score, yes, at 10-11. And if you fancy Chelsea to win and both teams to score, that's 6-4.
So 16-1 Fulham. Ranieri, yeah, going back to Chelsea.
He can get a good reception as well.
Yeah. He's a great man, Ranieri.
Great man.
That was a great game, the Fulham game last weekend.
And they got
was
a win.
Of the games
he
of
got
weekend,
a huge response straight away from him, you know.
Against the aforementioned Southampton.
Yeah, just
what a team to be playing.
I think Arsenal, I'm looking forward to Arsenal, watching Arsenal against Spurs this
weekend. Do you like Emery?
I do.
Yeah.
I think actually, you know, they've actually done quite well. What, they're fifth, 27 points. I mean, considering the change in the club, I think he's done a good job.
I agree.
Cracking game.
Yeah,
as well.
he's done a brilliant job since he's come in. He seems to have a lot of authority there because he's dropped Ozil now a few times, which I think is a good thing as well. He doesn't let any of them away with anything the way Wenger was kind of, they were all in a comfort zone with Wenger. I think he's done a good job, Emery, but I fancy Spurs to beat them on Sunday.
It's very tight in the betting. Arsenal 6-4, the draw 13-5, Spurs 8-5. Another very, very tight match price up by traders. Yeah.
8-5.
That is tight, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's one that could be a draw. 13-5, a draw. That, that's a bit of value.
Both teams to score definitely in that match.
Oh, yeah, odds on 1-2. So mm-hmm. not much value in that. If you fancy, you know, the match odds and both teams to score, if you're looking at Spurs 16-5 for Spurs to win, both teams to score in the 90 minutes.
I like that, yeah.
I like that one as well, yeah. And just we'll go to the Merseyside derby, Liverpool against Everton. Johnny, what do you think?
Yeah, nibbles for Everton here. I can see why. 8-9-1, Shane.
7-1, they've come in again, yeah.
7-1's huge.
Yeah, they've. I think they've been bigger even looking at the odds here. You know, I think this will be closer than the odds suggest. I expect Liverpool to win, but I wouldn't be backing them at 2-5. Just looked a bit shaky defensively again against PSG. You'd have to say.
First 20 minutes against PSG, they just couldn't
Lovren
get their foot in the world.
I mean, team.
Yeah.
Why have him?
Yeah.
He's, if Lovren is playing, Liverpool are in shtuck. Like, but Everton, they've good chance of finishing top six, I think, or at least getting into Europe.
Again, a manager that's done a good job, Johnny.
Great
Silva.
Job.
Yeah, he's, and they look, you know, it's great to have a player playing for them regularly in the Irish setup, namely Seamus Coleman. But it's all about Sigurdsson. He's such a good player.
12-1 for the opening goal, by the way. Another double odds match.
Yeah, and he's
Simpson's 12-1.
12-1.
Alan,
are we going to see
him again?
He could be the man. Oh,
see
your repeat
last week.
Again.
Yeah. 12-1. Yeah, some plenty of big prices about the Everton players. I've seen Richarlison there. Is at 10-1. Just a couple of Liverpool players as well. Salah short as expected, 3-1. Sturridge is in there at 4-1. Mane at 9-2. And it's 5-1 bigger the rest.
Yeah, if you look, what I'd say, did anyone see the match the other night with Liverpool? Just first time Klopp, he says, we were made look like butchers. Did anyone see that quote?
Yeah, because the referee was so bad. He was complaining. The referee was terrible.
The amount of yellow cards.
But they had only... PSG had only 2, Liverpool had 6, and it was if anything it was the other way around. Verratti should have been sent off with a disgraceful tackle.
The diving was shocking.
And the histrionics from Neymar, and they're around the referee. They're terrible for a PSG. But on the football side of things, I thought Liverpool were found wanting now last night. And I'm a big fan of Klopp, and I like what they're doing there. I like the balance of the team this year as well, that they've sorted out the defensive stuff, but they were poor enough last night.
Henderson, Keita hasn't really been quite good enough. He's been a bit disappointed. I thought he'd make more of an impact.
They struggle in midfield, Johnny. The front three, they're so reliant on them. They've sorted out the defensive issues. Van Dijk's a superstar. I love Gomez as well. But last night he played Gomez right full and Lovren. Look, we all have seen the mistakes with Lovren. But midfield, Jordan Henderson was way off the pace last night. I thought he was very, very poor.
I think he's overrated.
I agree. Like,
I've said it before.
When you think he's the captain of Liverpool, like, wow.
Johnny, just want to, at this stage of the season with Klopp, right, they're facing into a situation where they have to beat Napoli by more than a goal. Is it as
1-0 do?
Well, yeah, by a goal or 1-0,
which is not going to happen. Like, you can just see Liverpool.
Is it a situation if they don't qualify? Is that a disaster for Liverpool?
It's not a disaster, but financially, it's
huge.
They should be getting out of that group. It's a good group. It's a very good group, but they should be getting out of it. You go back to the performance in Naples; they were shocking that night, and that's when Salah was really struggling for form, and they couldn't, that could be their downfall. But
the Red Star result as well definitely put a spanner into the works there.
Yeah, they were
expecting that.
They were desperate that night.
The one thing about Liverpool, and I don't really buy into this trends and all that, like in history, but like Champions League nights at Anfield where they need to win, or they need to win by more than a goal, the place is absolutely like, I would love to go to this game for any money. If anyone out there can offer me tickets, this will be some night, and I think they will get over the line.
Somehow I think you'll pick up tickets somewhere between
that's a game. I think it's a game that could really, really.
It's a fair question.
Momentum gather.
You ask Bernard because. But it's a tough group. Napoli are a good side as well.
They are a good side.
And obviously PSG with all the money they have. So it was a tough group starting out. When you look at somebody, like when you look at United, the likes of the group they had compared to what Liverpool
chalk
have had.
And cheese.
But the only positive of not getting through, I think, it could help them in the long run for the challenge for the Premier League.
Yeah, it should do.
You know, that'll be huge. If they don't, now look, they want to be in every tournament and every competition, especially as Johnny says, the European nights in Anfield are special. But if they were to go out, all eyes then go solely on the Premier League. You'd have no midweek distractions.
True.
And it'd be massive for them.
And in a strange way, the fans wouldn't. They'd be disappointed they're out, but they'd be like, we want to win the league. Like,
I do think they can push City all the way.
They still have a chance, yeah. You know, they still have a realistic chance.
They're the only ones that can push them. But they were poor last night. And
Midfield is the issue, Alan. They're not able to completely dominate games in midfield with possession. It's more like reliant
workmanlike.
Workmanlike, get the ball to the front three. You know what I mean?
They're still only two points off of Man City in the Premier League. So it wouldn't be the be-all and end-all should they be out of Europe, as Alan mentioned, to win the Premier League. The odds on Liverpool, 4-11 here, Bernard, to win in 90 minutes. The draw, 19-5, as mentioned, Everton, 7-1, coming in price in the last couple of days. So not a forlorn hope.
Just looking there, City and Bournemouth is the game. We just give it a little. Eddie Howe, he'll always pull a result on the road. He'll do something against one of the top teams, maybe a draw. Or will City keep going and banging in the goals?
Well, I love the two managers, but I love Eddie Howe, Bernard. You know that. I love the way he conducts himself. I think he's gone serious places. He'll be managing a top team one day, but very soon. I think he's a brilliant manager. But I can't see them getting a result against Man City, even though I like the job he's done. But just comparing resources,
they are 20.
City are phenomenal.
20-1 to win in 90 minutes. City 9-1 on the draw, 17-2.
City are just a machine.
Plus two, let's say City. What is it?
Still odds on, I'd imagine. I mean, I'm looking at the over and under goals market here. Over 3.5 even is 4-6 total goals. You're looking at four or five goals potentially. So potentially you want to skip, I think, this weekend.
And the only last game, I think, is Leicester and Watford is the only we haven't covered. I mean, that's why.
Move on.
That's the end of that. Can I just mention before we go? And that's the soccer. And listen, we'll have a few of your bets now later on the show, but we've got to give one man a mention this weekend, our old mate Ken Doherty. Great win. He's facing Ronnie the weekend.
Absolutely, Bernard.
It's brilliant for him, isn't it? Twilight of his career.
He's buzzing like a little kid again. Obviously, he won his first round match, so Ronnie has to play today, but Ronnie's playing. Yeah, Ronnie's, I think, 1-250.
64 players started off. I think the TV coverage doesn't start until this weekend as well.
Saturday.
Yeah, it is, isn't
and
it?
And Ken is on against Ronnie on the BBC live.
Brilliant.
So everybody tune in, give him a bit of support. And to play Ronnie is just, it'll be phenomenal for him.
Just hope Ronnie will be on an off day. You'd never know.
I watched himself and Ken and Mullingar. They came to do an exhibition in Mullingar and I was with Ken for the night.
Rocket was there.
I went out for the night with the two of them.
Didn't you tell me about this?
Oh no, it's a few years ago now. And we had an absolutely brilliant night, but he is bonkers. Ronnie's bonkers. Ronnie is bonkers. But you want to see him up close. And the talent and how good Ken is, but to see Ronnie,
I go over every year to the Crucible, Bernard. It's phenomenal. Snooker is me. Snooker was my first love. Yeah, before football, snooker was
there. The tickets sell out really, really quickly as well. Yeah, over the Crucible every year.
Ken has asked me a few times to go over,
and for people listening in who probably might not be fans of the snooker, I'll just throw this out there. It's probably one of the best sporting events you could ever go to.
I really enjoyed it. I remember we were checking into a hotel and Bingham was checking in beside me at the time. And I was like, another the journeyman ended up winning the tournament, or ended up getting to the final.
Yeah.
He won it.
That was the year he won it. Actually, yeah. Sorry, he ended up
2015. I think he won it.
And you've access to the players as well. They're kind of hanging around, like they're not like these stars. They will chat away to you. Like.
And the difference with being there, Bernard, when you watch it on the telly and it looks so easy, they're potting everything, and you think it's easy for them. When you're actually there, it's so intimate, the arena. It only holds, I think it's 800 seats, the Crucible. Mm. And when you pull the partition down in the middle, you're literally sitting beside them. You could just go, like, you don't have to roar or shout. You could just say, Ken, I don't think you should go for that one. And he would actually hear you. You're that close to
the There's a brilliant rapport between the players and the supporters. There always has been in the
circus. Because it's close knit.
It is, yeah.
And the Crucible is the home of it, obviously. But this is a massive tournament as well. As Shane said, it's
part
one
of the Triple Crown.
Part of the Triple Crown. So Ronnie will be all guns blazing to win this as well.
And he's 5-2. He's 5-2 to win it. I actually fancy Judd Trump.
Judd Trump's a great shout.
Yeah, he's 7-1. He's had a decent enough season as
well. He just won last week the Northern Ireland
he
Open,
did.
Yeah.
And some of the clearances he made in that tournament as well were something to behold. I mean, he really can pull out a humdinger of a shot when he needs to in the latter stages of matches.
And he was coming out, actually, he was quite feisty because people were, during that tournament, people were saying you've underachieved in your career, and he was getting a bit of criticism, and he actually came out fighting and saying, like, I'm around in such a good era and I haven't done too bad considering what I've won. And maybe it's set up for Judd to have a good week in that UK championship.
7-1 could be a bit of value, I think, on the snooker front.
Another dub before we move on, just quickly, a word on Robbie retiring.
Yeah.
From football.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
that, people think you think he was retired. He's actually only retired. Yeah, it's incredible. I just seen 736 games, I think I seen when I
Was at Leeds with him, Bernard, and kind of got
You were there when he was there?
Yeah, I was chatting to him even yesterday in the village, but I got to know him, and I don't think he ever gets the credit that he deserves. Like, what he's achieved in his career is absolutely phenomenal. You only have to look at social media yesterday to see the likes of Beckham, Gerrard, John Terry, you name it. It was a who's who of fellas wanting to praise him and say how great he was. And in his own country, I don't think he gets that. I think he's been an absolute superstar. His record will never be broken. 68 goals.
47 clear.
And maybe he'll only be appreciated now. Since he's
126 premiership goals, I think, as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like, you look at the likes of the manager Gordon Strachan and Gary McAllister when he started the Coventry. The things people have to say about him as managers, played with Berbatov. Berbatov's mad about him, the partnership they had at Spurs. Gareth Bale, I seen tweeting a picture on Instagram today about he's phenomenal. Even when we were at Leeds, it's only then that you realise just how good he is, because people think, oh well, he's just a bit of a fox in the box and he only scored goals. It was his movement that got him into those positions that's absolutely phenomenal, Bern. And it was only when you see him up close and you can see actually what he does to get himself into those positions.
The other thing I would say, and I'd love more Irish players to do what Robbie did. Mm-hmm. We're not all about England. We can play elsewhere. He went to Italy. Liam Brady went to Italy.
Yeah.
And I remember Dylan Watts, who's at Rovers now, saying he'd love to play in Spain. We don't have to go to England. I know it's an English-speaking country. I know we've cultural ties to it, but there are other countries out there where they play different sides of football. And even I was chatting to Owen Garvin during the week, Alan. I was thinking the players like that. Owen Garvin's career probably didn't go as high as it could because England was next door to us.
Sure, if I could have went to England, abroad.
But you know what I mean? Do you know, like, and even
I
yourself,
think it's
like,
slightly changing, Johnny. And it's a good point. You're dead right, because when we grew up, it was just England, England, England. I think that's slightly changed because it's so hard for lads to make it in England now.
But you see, I was just looking at the debate in the Sky, the show. Craig Bellamy, his glowing tribute of Robbie Keane was astounding. Mm-hmm. And he went into detail. I thought he was brilliant. But he rated him, but all the other pros in England as well. It was just incredible stuff. But the one thing, for a guy like that, coming from Dublin where he did, I don't think people really realise the strong-willed mindedness of that man, no matter what club he went to, the way he embraced the challenges, and he had ups and downs. But I'll tell you, it's only in years to come that we'll appreciate
absolutely
how bloody good
you
he
do
was.
It or Robbie
and that's,
Keane.
The,
oh my
that's
God.
The thing, Bernard.
Incredible.
It's
strength of mentality.
It's the esteem he's held amongst his peers. And we're not talking peers who've played at the Championship or League One. We're talking the best of the best players that have ever played in the Premier League who are absolutely stone-mad about him. That just tells you the career he's had. He's been an absolute superstar. And I was chatting to someone about last night, when you think you have Roy Keane, Johnny Giles, he's in that category. He's right up in the top three or four, the best we've ever had.
Absolutely. No, just I thought it was worth to mention the week 100%. That was in it. Mm-hmm. Shane, just going on to, we're going to go to American football, because we have some massive race and we have the GAA to actually cover as well. So we'll go into the fastest growing sport, as that we told Alan last week.
Yeah, absolutely,
in Ireland,
yeah.
American football. I watched the Giants blow it last weekend against the Eagles. Absolute disaster. They're finished now, I think.
Yeah, I think they are. There's plenty of teams now. There were around 5-5 going into last weekend. That
you got a big treble.
The treble
up,
came
you?
Up as well. 6-1 in the spread. Yeah, first in a long time on the NFL. But we'll go in again. We'll reinvest this weekend. I've gone for the Saints once again. I mean, Dallas they've been doing well in the last number of weeks, especially in their division now. They're leading their division at the minute by one or two games. But the Saints at 19-20 minus 7.5 here against the Cowboys. And going with the Falcons, who looks as if they're out of the playoff picture at the moment, but at home they're pretty decent there. Minus 1.5 against the Ravens, which is 10-11. And finally, the LA Rams 10-11 minus 9 against the Lions, who are coming off a loss against the Bears last weekend, who were even missing Trubisky but still managed to win.
So, just tell me the Saints bet again there. Is it minus?
Minus 7.5, the Saints against the Cowboys. Now, albeit that...
What is that?
Who's the Saints? New Orleans. The New Orleans Saints.
St. Patrick's. They're playing the Cowboys.
They're playing the Cowboys. Yeah, they're your team.
They're at home.
Yeah, so minus 7.5. I mean, I think that's an absolutely incredible bet
for the weekend.
I mean, they did only win, I think it was by 13 or 14 last weekend now against the Falcons. So, I mean, I'm not going to say they were stopped on their tracks because they still won. They took the foot off the gas, so to speak. But they're essentially home and holes in terms of the division. And they look serious Super Bowl contenders.
The Cowboys
well,
are 5-6. Saints 10-1.
Yeah,
I think
they're there.
I'm actually, before any of you get in there, that's going to be one of my bets of the weekend. Minus 7.5, 19-20. Brilliant. Yeah, anything else that stands out to you?
Not at the minute. That pays 6-1. Hopefully last week's winners can go on to that and we can reinvest into the following week. So that's the NFL for this week.
I can't get over, Bernard, how much you love this.
I told you last weekend, it's my excuse to be in the room on my own and the women in my house leave me alone. So I love the American football. There's no guy.
You genuinely love it, yeah.
I do enjoy it. Well, sure, I think tactically, it's a phenomenal game. When you cut all the crap out of the breaks and the game itself, it's a game of yards and inches. It is an amazing game. When you get into it, I have got into it. I love it, I must say.
In terms of the management side, I mean, the thing about it is there's a reason to have defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators, and special teams coordinators. And then you've got the head coach. So essentially you've got four head coaches in the one team. Mm. Compare that to football where you've got, you've got your assistant, but the manager really does make the be all and end all calls, doesn't he?
It's a good point, Shane, because it's an argument that slowly but surely you see with the rugby, a defence coach and attack coach.
Yeah.
Could it be introduced into football somewhere? I think it was a Joey Barton. I know he's mad on the NFL, and reading his autobiography, he was basically saying something similar, that eventually when I take over a club, and obviously he's the manager now, he would go down the route of specialised coaches and specialised areas.
I tell you, it's a great game to watch live, to actually go to. It's a different experience because the breaks like that you experience obviously on TV, they don't really come into it. And the occasion they make it in the States where like they go to the car park and they all like have beers and barbecues. The actual game itself is 3 hours of pure entertainment, and watching it live you can see all over the pitch like what's going on at both ends, and it's
the fans as well, by the way, they're not sectioned off like they are in football here and in England. They can mix amongst each other. It's great. They're normal pretty
like
much
us.
That's
a great, I actually studied it over the last while, I really have. I think the point you make there, to do, we could learn so much of in detail, and I think someone the likes of Joe Schmidt. And actually, his announcement this week as well has just been incredible, the reaction to it as well. But his attention to detail is on the lines of the American football, where he goes in defensively, I mean, Andy Farrell, where he goes into offensively. And I think that's where we really could learn an awful lot. And I know teams
funny,
doing it.
I went up to the England, the U team were over here it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I went up to watch them train because Ian Foster was over with them. He used to manage us at Dundalk. And he's a coach now, but they've introduced it with the whole DNA program they have under Southgate and this St. George's Park and all. But he's the out of possession coach, and then they have an in possession coach. Then they have the manager, as you said, Shane. So slowly but surely, these things are being introduced.
We're going to move on to the GAA before. We have a massive racing weekend, so we're going to leave a good bit towards the end. The Ladbrokes have a big race on, I think, in Newbury the weekend as well.
Ladbrokes Trophy on Saturday, Bernard.
We'll touch on that later on. The GAA, first of all, right? On a week, I don't know whether you've followed it, guys, the rule changes, etc. We've the two big games
of the weekend.
I was giving out a little bit, Johnny, last Sunday, but I was giving out not so much the rules, but the rejection of the motion to actually address the actual fixture situation in the club was mind-blown that it was rejected. I was astounded. I couldn't believe it. I thought it was awful. I thought it was wrong on so many levels. And I did make my point very strongly last Sunday on RT. But just going, this weekend we have two massive games, right? Guido and Scotstown are playing in the Ulster Club Final, and the hurling, Ballyhale, King Henry at the helm, against Ballyboden. And just, it's amazing because the two of them are very sort of similar. If you like, Guido or, I mean, they've never won one. And Scotstown, probably, what's the betting on this one now?
Very tight as well, Bernard.
Two of them are tight, I think.
Gwydor odds on just about 4-6. The draws are 13-2, and Scotstown are 13-8 in the match betting. On the handicap, only 1 point separating them as well. Gwydor -1 at 10-11. Scotstown +1 at 11-10. So very, very tight.
Well, I have to say, Gwydor, if you know the McGee's and all, just covering, just doing a little bit during the week there. And if you look at it there, I mean, the likes of McNeilis, you have the McGee's there, Mulligan, you have Carroll. I think they're going to take a bit of beating, but I think the bookies have got this one wrong slightly. Scotstown at 13-8 is a phenomenal bet.
Don't they have the keeper takes the kicks?
Oh, they're begging yeah. Yeah. But they have the two, I mean, Darren Hughes, Kieran Hughes, McCarthy, Carey. I mean, they have actually serious players as well themselves. But I think it's going to be a really tight battle. I thought Gwydor were immense against Crosby Glen the last day. I mean, they scored 4 goals. I think, you know, the boy Whale got Darragh Whale got a hat-trick. Bombing down the middle. Scotstown will have that closed up. It's in Healy Park. I think it's going to be a great game. It's at 2 o'clock on Sunday.
Just on the winning margin front as well, if you think there is only going to be a point or two between them, you mentioned Scotstown. To win by 1 and 3 points in the winning margin, they're 100-30. So if you want to take that, if you think it's going to be tight enough, but possibly Scotstown by 1 or 2, 100-30.
I personally actually would, if it was a straight bet, I'd probably shade Gwydor. But I just think Scotstown and the firepower, they haven't played that well over the last few games. They really haven't. They haven't scored as much as they can. Only for Began the last day, who was incredible against Coleraine, the Derry champions. He got the last kick. He's had, even after the All-Star, he's really cemented his position. I think Joe Brawley did a brilliant piece on him last Sunday. I thought it was extraordinary. The actual full piece on a goalkeeper. So, I mean, Cluxton is there, but have Began up beside him. But the Hugheses and the big players for Scotland, who haven't always performed, have to perform to have a chance. For me, 13-8. I didn't realise the betting was a little bit skewed like that. Yeah. I think there's something a little bit wrong. An odd game, the bookies don't get it too far wrong. I think they're wrong on this one. Scotstown at 13-8 is a bit of value, I think. Johnny, have you been following it at all?
Not much, to be honest, but I am looking forward to the weekend's action and just to see Began play. Like, I know this.
He has some kick.
It's the most important position in the field now. Yeah, but like I got some pleasure watching Monaghan Croke Park this year. Mm. Watching for him from behind the goal, just how he orchestrated attacks, and it'll be interesting to see. And King Henry as well. Sure, we won't give out.
Your team. I was just going to briefly mention Mullinocht into the final as well.
That was an unbelievable achievement.
Let me tell you. Here's a stat for you lads. Right, I'm going to say it now. Next weekend in Tullamore, they're playing against the Dublin Aristocrats, Kilmacud, right?
They're 4-1, just to say, and Croke 7-1 on.
Get on Mullinocta at 4-1. They're going to go very close. I don't know what the handicap will be. I think that's where the...
That's a fair shout now. Yeah.
I'm telling you now.
It could be +4 or 5.
Here's the stat. Listen to this, Alan.
How many are at the club versus...
No, yeah. No, the membership.
Membership, yeah.
This is incredible. Colm Keyes put up a tweet the other night, last Sunday night, after 2-15-3 points. That was an extraordinary win against the Carlow champions. Brilliant. There's about 380-390 people in the little parish.
Yeah.
There's 155 paid up members in the club. How many paid up members in Kilmacud? 4,800. Isn't that just tell you all about it? It is incredible.
Different world.
I said it at the very first show here. I said they'll go very close. My outside bet for the Leinster club, and I still think they've a great chance.
How many of them lads play on the county team? It must be the whole odd of them.
There's 3 or 4 of them playing.
Is that all?
Yeah, there's 3 or 4. Yeah, actually, they're
a real
tight club.
You think a small county like that that's having so much success with this one team? You think half of them would.
Do you know what, Alan? Sometimes when you're having too many players on the county team, it actually helps the club. Yeah, it galvanizes the club. But their attitude, they were nearly decimated. They've won 3 in a row now. It's just incredible. I mean, Mickey Graham is there. He's the cabin manager now. I think they're pulling together. The effort they physically give. Mm. Last year they were very, very unlucky. I think it was against Vincent's, right? They should have beat them. Against Lomans, actually beat them. They were very unlucky. Overall, watch the effort, the physical effort that they'll give. I covered last Sunday's game against Kilmacud and Portlaoise. A brilliant game of football. Mm. What an advertisement for Gaelic football it was. I mean, 1-17-3-8.
You could argue, Bernard, would this be fair to say the club championship is nearly better than some of the inter-county games?
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt.
Especially
the early ones. Without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah. But the club...
Why are they not televised?
The club provincial scene is magnificent. Last Sunday was as good a game as I've ever seen. Portlaoise kicked 12 wide, 6 into the goalie's hand, missed a penalty last minute to draw it, and 2 open goals. They had every chance to win it. And defensively, Kilmacud are a little bit founded for the next weekend. But let's go on to the hurling.
Ballyhale.
I'll tell you, no. King Henry, his first year in charge. He has to be the next manager. Hey, did you hear? What is it? I just heard on the radio on the way up. Hurling is worldwide is recognised now.
I've seen that, yeah.
What is it again? Worldwide recognition for...
being a
global game.
No,
global
world gamer. Cultural activity. Mm. It's a world cultural activity now. Camogie and hurling, not less. Leave out the camogie or we'll be all in trouble.
Be in trouble.
And that was incredible. I heard DJ Kerry on it as well. But Ballyhale is a little bit like Mullinocta, a small little village steeped with the Fenleys. I mean, if you look at Reeds, Shefflin, only I think there's only, what, 700 or 800
people? Featured on the game. Was it the game? The documentary? Game. It featured. You got a good insight into Ballyhale. Like, it's the best sport in the world. Like, I mean, even though football is my game, it's still...
Well, it's head and shoulders above football at the minute in terms of viewing, in terms of style of play, in terms of everything, really, isn't it? I think
I would agree. I've said that to you a few times, Bernard. As much as it pains, because I
disagree with you.
I was always football growing up, didn't know anything about hurling. Yeah. We were townies, we were Gaelic football, but the hurling is phenomenal.
And this the second big game this weekend, I think it's a tight game as well in the betting.
Not as tight as the one mentioned earlier on in the football, but Ballyhale 4-9, the draws at 9-1, and a shade over 2-1 about Ballyboden, they're 21-10. And the handicap front, 3 points in it here, Ballyhale -3 to evens.
Colin Fennelly scored 4-4 from play the last day. And here's one for you. I mean, you have
Richie Hogan.
Richie Hogan. No, Reid.
TJ Reid.
Playing. You have TJ Reid. You have Michael Fennelly at centre back. Colin Fennelly 4-4. But on the other side, Ballyboden, Baskill only started the last day. His first game, I think, since he was a minor. He came on as a sub. He scored 3-3. I think he was responsible for about 1-6, 1-7. I mean, he's a footballer, a brilliant footballer. But he's been a huge injection. Ballyboden only won the club a few years ago in the football, All-Ireland club.
This is the thing again about dual players. Like, there's no way it should be so professional that you can't play both. You should be allowed to train more predominantly football, but play hurling as well. Like, there's no way... O'Callaghan should be hurling for Dublin, like, basically. Simple as, he should be hurling for Dublin, playing football for Dublin, and training accordingly.
I'd agree
with
that.
It's ridiculous. Like, if Baskill is obviously a very good hurler, he should be hurling. Like, football shouldn't be able to take over your life to the extent that you can't hurl as well.
Mm. Colin Keeney was the same situation a few years ago. He was caught out as well a few years ago.
It does annoy me that. And it's like the... You're on about the fixture situation. Like, the divorce from club, and that Brian Cody was talking about recently, where the county's becoming professional in everything except actually getting paid. Do you know what I mean? And it's at the detriment to lads playing hurling when they should be playing hurling and football.
Well, my point last Sunday was that the club scene, it's the sacrificial lamb to the county scene. They were talking about these changes last week. 1% of the playing Gaelic population is the intercounty scene.
Yeah.
There's about 1/4 million playing.
Yet it's 95% of the
competitive club players. Yeah. And there's only 1% or 1.5% are in the county. That's where it's actually complete the disconnect. Mm. But Ballyhale, I mean, is 4-9 a bit generous, Shane?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I haven't followed them much this year now at all, I have to confess. 3 points in the handicap as well at even money. What do you reckon?
I think the Fenleys, Reid.
Is he still playing Henry Shifflin?
No, he's manager. No,
he's the manager.
He could still play. He played
his first season. I'll tell you, it's brilliant. Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind, he's obviously being groomed,
I would say, for the next pick over Cody.
Well, the media work he's heavily involved in at the moment as well. That's the big decision for some guys like that. I think Colm O'Rourke in our own county, like, he's heavily involved with Sunday Independent, heavily involved with RTE and the Sunday Game. It's a big decision to leave all that behind and go and manage a county. That's the big decision for Henry, I believe, down the road.
Speaking just briefly about Shefflin again, do you remember that when he eventually decided to call it a day, they actually held a press conference to show the world that he was retiring? I mean, where else or who else would you ever have?
We will never see the likes of him again.
Did you ever speak to Colin about that or ask him?
I would have touched him because... And I'll be straight up here now. I mean, I love coaching.
I presume he was asked about it at some point, was he?
He could have had the meat job on a few occasions, I believe, personally. But, and I would say this, he can't afford to actually manage his own county with the lucrative work that he has in the media. My own situation, personally, I've been asked or got a bit of stick. I love coaching or being involved, and I would be involved if I had a contract with the Mirror or do my work with RTE. I mean, this type of stuff, you can't do both. Yeah. You cannot do both. Mm-hmm. I think Davy Fitz actually tried to do it a number of years ago. Tommy Lyons, when he was at the helm as well. Pilar Caffrey and stuff. You can't do both. There has to be a clean cut. Mm-hmm. And I would say, if Colm O'Rourke, I believe he will manage Meath in the next 3 or 4 years.
Really?
Yeah, contrary to what some people might think. Wow. And I hope he does. But going back to it, the hurling, who are you picking, Alan?
Ballyhale.
Okay, Johnny?
Yeah, I'll go with Ballyhale.
And the football? Football is tight. I think the Ulster final is so tight.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Scotstown on the winning margin.
Yeah, I think.
At 130 between
one and
three.
I think it's going to be two cracking games. I'm going to go for double later on now. Before we move in, a massive weekend, Fairy House.
Fairy House in the
Racing
Sunday.
Racing this weekend, Johnny. You've been a little bit quiet in the last while.
Gearing up.
We want a bit of value for our listeners. Come on, give it a little bit of value.
Looking at me odds, a horse running tomorrow night at Dundalk. I'm very, very sweet on this. King's Vow in the first race. Kevin Manning riding for Joseph O'Brien.
Bernard is scribbling like mad. They're taking down this name.
It'd be a bit rare.
Johnny owes me a winner. He owes me a winner.
Yeah, I really like this horse. So much went wrong from the last. He's a son of Frankel. He's bred to be a lot better than he is. But before all of, or after all of that, how are we looking betting wise for Sunday?
Sunday in
before we get to the Ladbrokes Trophy,
I will get it up now in 2 seconds. Just bear with me.
I love Dundalk on a Friday night.
I do. The problem is, I finish work and like I love nothing more than a few pints watching Dundalk on a Friday night. But like it's a long meet. It's often 8 races. It's a 4-hour slog. And you know, by the end of the night, you're like, oh, you know, where am I here?
Impossible to get winners at Dundalk.
I was talking to a friend of mine, just Shane, before you get that up there, and he says he's now, if he goes out or he's going watching racing or anything like that, he gets rid of his phone. He's actually telling me he gets rid of his phone because he has a point or two. He tends to use the phone and go online and have a bet that he wouldn't normally bet. Is that a fair point?
It's not a bad idea. Like, you know, I would argue a lot of people in life should go a lot of places without their phone. They should leave it at home a lot more often. But anyway, it is dangerous. Like, your phone is, you've access to betting that like you never had before. But Fairy House on Sunday.
You're going to
we'll
talk
cracking,
about the Royal Bonds.
Racing.
The first of the grade ones. Commander Fleet, the 9-4 favourite. 11-4 about Royal Rendezvous. 7-2 Sancta Simona. Aramon is in there at 9-2. Quick Rabbin, who's going to be my fancy, is in at 11-2. It's 10's barred. The field will cut up, I would imagine, come declaration stage, which will be tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. There's still a good, what have we got left in? 13, 14 left in it.
It's going to, Willie has so many runners. One, two, three. He's about half the field. I want to take on Commander Fleet. He's Antipo's favourite, I think. This is a horse by Fame and Glory, who was a very promising stallion and then died, which was regrettable for the jumps game because I think he would have been very good. I think this horse essentially will want further than 2 miles. He won his maiden hurdle over 2.5. He's a point to point horse. He wasn't overly impressed when he won his maiden hurdle, even though he was mad odds on, but he did it well. I think he wants further and he just might be vulnerable to toe here. Quick Grab Him, I was desperately disappointed in him and Navin. You know, I followed him because I was in Tipperary when he won. So I'm kind
that's the thing, if you can forgive, put a line through that run last time out when he was staying on a small bit towards the end, but not to much effect really. I mean, at 11-2 could be potentially the each way value.
He could be. I tell you, a horse you wouldn't want to underestimate is Brace Yourself. Brace Yourself, every time this horse runs, reminds me of Only Fools and Horses when just before probably their second most famous scene. The most famous scene was falling at the bar, but the second most famous scene would be the chandelier. And Del Boy says, as Rodney's like, and there's a story behind it because they only had one take, and basically BBC said, like, if you get this wrong, you're screwed.
Is gone,
so Rodney, like, literally was at pains not to laugh after the chandelier fell. But beforehand, Del Boy goes, just as the granddad's about to hit, to knock it down, he goes, "Now brace yourself, Rodney, brace yourself," and then bang. But Brace Yourself could well be named after that Noel Meads horse. I was at Down Royal. This horse won, all manner of things went wrong. There was a loose horse playing havoc. Definitely wants to step up and trip, but he does have gear. His Noel Meads horse are flying it. He's going
to
be around double figures.
He's
in each way betting the race.
And then we're going to move on to the second of the grade ones, which is the Drinmore. If I'm not mistaken, Larishberg in here, hot property, isn't he?
Yeah, I really like Larishberg. Lovely, lovely horse. I wasn't 100% convinced about 2.5 miles before he ran in Tipperary, and he answered that question conclusively. Probably not the strongest renewal of the race, partly because the ground remains. I think like it's just gone from good to firm at Fairy House. Like, it's incredible.
As you said a few weeks ago, we need rain.
Badly. Like, I think they're expecting 40 mils before racing, or before 3 o'clock on Sunday. But Delta Work, he did it very well at Down Royal. He obviously was a winner at Cheltenham last year. But I'd probably be just towards Larishberg, who I think is a very smart horse.
15-8 Larishberg, by the way. We're looking anti-post here. Delta Work is 11-4. 5-1 Cadmium. Blow by Blow, who I thought was disappointing last time out of Punchestown, is 7-1. And it's 8-1 bar. We'll move on then briefly to the Hatton's Grace on Sunday as well. Apples Jaden here at 8-11. She's bypassed the fighting fifth.
Yep, which the great Sam Crow goes there. This is definitely more her trip, 2.5 miles. I think she'll take a hell of a lot of beating.
Would you like to see her in a champion hurdle someday?
I would, I would.
Absolutely would.
And if Sam Crow doesn't turn out to be all that, you know, she'd be well worth her place. I'd be interested if Rowena runs here. Yeah, yeah. I think she's very tactically versatile trip-wise. This is probably more her trip. I'd like to see Lorena rock up here. I think she could be very exciting. I should mention as well, I have a horse running the 210 undressed. I actually don't really know what to expect, but if he does win... Let's just say I'll be forfeiting all my work duties.
You'll
afterwards.
Be undressed on Sunday.
I'll be undressed.
You have been known to do it, Johnny.
But, you know, hopefully.
Just on a quick note on that, on Sam Crowe. What's your honest opinion? A superstar in the making, beaten, I think, first time out. What do you honestly think? A good debate at the moment going on about this horse. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I suppose that's a segue to the fight in fifth, Shane.
Seven to four currently.
I think he'll go off favourite and I expect him to win.
Was as big as 9-4 just a couple of days ago.
But long term, Johnny.
Long term, I'd love him to probably become a champion chaser. I'm not 100% sure he'd stay a Gold Cup trip. I think he's an absolute sensation.
Why do you not think he'd stay at the Gold Cup?
Germany horses wouldn't necessarily be a massive stamina influence. He did win a point to point, but he's loads of gears. I'm not saying he wouldn't, but I'd be less concerned about him being a 2 mile Arkle horse. But I wouldn't be hurdling with him. I'd be chasing already. I do think he'll win on
7-4 might look a very silly price.
That race Saturday, Johnny, because there was so much disappointment after getting beat. Is it almost imperative that he wins?
He'd want to win or go very, very close. Because Bouverdere, he's a good horse. He's obviously a champion hurdle winner, but he's not a superstar. The words from Nicky Henderson suggest that he was a bit harder to get fit than Might Bite, who absolutely flopped last Saturday. Sam Crowe has had his run. The only worry I would have, it's not a worry if you back him because you get your money back, but if you're backing him Antipost, the weather was so bad, there was a slight worry about him getting the boat and all that. Once he gets over there, the ground is going to turn quite soft at Newcastle, I believe. I'd be massively in his favour on Saturday. I've had a good bet on him already.
Just on the big one then as well, the Ladbrokes Trophy, formerly known for so many years as the Hennessy, of course, some brilliant winners of that race down through the years. I'm going to tip up Beware the Bear here, who's at 20-1 for Nicky Henderson. Big enough price considering the connections as well. This race will be run over 3.25 miles.
And the wind up.
Plenty of positives here. You have the wind up, great record fresh as well. Has won on plenty of occasions when fresh.
Only 13 rivals as well.
Only 13 rivals. It's a poor enough turnout, isn't it?
It's not a great... I remember back in Total Recall for this last year. I was going down to watch Galway United playing
Back in Total Recall for this last year. Yeah. Because you had all us told about it as well.
I got pally with the owner, Lara Byrne. And I remember going down to see Galway United playing Limerick in a game that I don't think we won anyway. It was one of them really important late season games, but I remember walking towards the ground and Lara Byrne telling me, oh, he's going for the Ladbrokes Trophy. So I rushed to get as much as I could on at around 14-1. I don't think Ken Boy is the good thing that he was, even though he's a similar price. He's top weight. He did well to beat Alf DeZobo at Clonmel. That is very solid form, but he has a lot of weight. I'm going with Miss Parfois. She was a very good novice last season. By Maller, a horse I'm a big fan of. Stallion,
six to
big
one.
Fan of. 6-5, 6-1. I thought she might be a bit bigger. If she's 6-1, that's probably as good as you'll get. Her second to Ratvinden. Ratvinden was entered in this, doesn't run at Cheltenham. She was cruelly denied in that occasion. She did so much right. Then she ran into a good horse in Terrafour, who probably improved with the trip at Aintree. And I think 146, 11-1. The ground isn't as bad as it can be for this race.
They've had 6-7 mils overnight as well, I think. So it
but again,
we've had
so little rain for 6 months. The ground isn't going to be that bad. I think it'll suit her. I think she's a reasonably each-way chance.
Yeah, 9-2 the field. By the way, we'll be paying an extra place in that race as well. 4 places now down to 14 on the big one on Saturday. And as mentioned, Beware the Bear, get on 20-1 for Nicky Henderson.
Going back to the one in Dundalk, what odds is the tip that Johnny gave us? That's what I was writing here, just trying to...
I'm
listeners, you're speculating, but...
What would you tissue him up as?
I think if you're lucky, you might get fours. I'd say more likely 9-4.
And you reckon a good punch, Johnny?
Great bet.
Guys, are you listening?
He's confident.
He's very confident.
He's good in this Dundalk.
Kevin Manning will lift it over the line.
There's a look in Johnny's eye I only see occasionally.
A glint in my eye.
A serious look.
A glint in my eye.
When he talks Dundalk racing on Friday. Serious.
Is that all? Is there anything else that we're talking about?
That's all it for me.
That's it for me in the race in front. Some fantastic offers in shop as well. Do check out our money back offers on the racing front in our Ladbrokes shops over the weekend.
Actually, brilliant. Can we come on to the massive boxing match the weekend?
Now we're talking about
come on. By all accounts, the money that's going on this fight at the moment over the last week, if you look at social media, is just unbelievable.
Will you watch it?
I absolutely will watch
will
it.
Will you get up? It's half five, I think.
Yeah, half five. No, I'll definitely get up and watch
I'm
it.
The same. I love them.
Now, someone
he'll only be coming in, Johnny Ward. Look at the head.
No. I'm flat out now Sunday, genuinely. I'll be having a quiet weekend.
No, you won't. I don't know. The luck is in your eye again, Johnny.
And I'm up mad early Monday morning, but I'm can't wait for the race, and it's cracking weekend race. Yeah, boxing, is. No interest.
Okay.
No interest, no? Yeah. Do you never get sucked in?
I'll actually probably be gone by the time you get
back.
Well,
I think our listeners could actually win some money here this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm. Plenty of money.
That I'm interested in.
Plenty of money.
Plenty of money for Tyson Fury the last week.
Huge.
What price? I mean, he's now 11-8.
I can't believe that.
11-8, yeah.
11-8. I was looking at
him. What price the other lad?
Oh, he's 8-13, Deontay Wilder.
The favorite.
Yeah. And the draw is 25-1. So Wilder is slight favourite. Yeah. Everybody in the office is saying that as well. We've got a couple of boxing shrewdies in head office as well in Dublin at Ladbrokes. And then other boxing, they think get on Tyson Fury.
Well, they reckon with Fury, his skill set is that he's a heavy, super heavyweight, but with flyweight movement. He's so sharp that's why they just, if you look at the fight against Klitschko, they can't land a punch because he's so quick, his movement. He's supposed to be phenomenal. Now, whether he has the knockout punch to knock him out, I don't know. But he will, it's like giving an exhibition with his boxing skills.
But I'm just looking at, if Dontayne Wilder doesn't actually knock his head off, he's been out of the ring for so long. If this guy loses this, it's going to finish him. What's the odds again on Wilder? Just is 11-8
on
and
Deontay Wilder is 8-13. So odds on about Wilder. Fury coming for plenty of support the last week or two. He's 11-8.
He's after coming in.
Fury on points, Shane.
Fury on points 9-4. If you think he'll win by KO or TKO, which I'm not 100% sure.
I don't know if he has the knockout punch.
No, I don't think he does.
Will he last the distance?
Exactly. He'll box. He'll
outbox him. Yeah.
That's exactly what he'll do.
Yeah.
It's his skill set. That's what he has going for him. That's what he's number one in the world for.
Just we talked about Wilder being odds on. I mean, they reckon potentially should Fury have it on points coming into the last couple of rounds. I mean, it's a 12-round fight. If you think Wilder possibly, you know, the way he comes out just swinging left, right, and centre the last few rounds.
Like Joshua and Wilder are, that's what they have, the haymaker to have, you know? I mean, if they connect, they'll knock you out.
Yeah. I mean, if he is, you know, down to that in the last couple of rounds. On the round betting, round 11 is 20-1 for Wilder to win in round 11. And in the final round, 22-1. So if you think it might go to the last couple of rounds, Wilder to come out swinging.
At that stage, he could be well behind.
He could be well behind,
and he knows himself. And they'll say to him, just go out and swing. Yeah.
But Wilder, the great white hope he's been over the last year or two, I can't understand. I can't get my head around why it's so close. I actually can't. Is Fury that good? Or is your man, I mean,
Wilder that good, you mean?
Yeah, no, it's Fury. I mean, he's down into 11-8.
Mm. Yeah.
If it was a year and a half ago, the odds would be way outside that.
I would imagine that whoever wins this then fights Joshua.
Well, this is the best. If Fury wins this one,
it will be the biggest money-making British fight ever.
It's whether, like, he's such a commodity, Joshua Farnham, and he's such a cash cow. That's why he's avoiding all these fights, because they'll easily sell out Wembley, no problem. For him fighting a Vauxhall conference boxer, yeah. Fury's actually gone through a lot of personal stuff.
Fury, isn't
he? I think he's a great character, Bernd.
Depression and all that as well.
He's lost seven or eight stone.
Yeah. He's lost serious weight.
I seen a picture of him there about a year and a half ago, and he was just bloated.
He's in great shape, yesterday at the press conference.
They were fairly feisty the last few times they've been together. And Sky, I watched the head to head when they were talking. Genuinely, I don't think they like each other.
The argument around is, like, for all the success Joshua has had, and obviously he's a phenomenal athlete, they reckon your man's a much more skillful boxer, Fury, than all of them. Like, what, as Shane said, Wilder and the other fella have the power going for them, but Fury has all the skill and the movement. And at heavyweight, to be able to move as quickly and as sharply as they say a flyweight, it's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's another thing about, like Johnny saying there about the sport being at the NFL or meets, you don't really get that feel watching it on the telly. Exactly. It's amazing the difference when you're actually at an event, how much more you can
especially in boxing. Do you know the way the commentators will say, oh, he landed a good shot there, and you're thinking, where was that shot?
Yeah.
It was so quick.
Your angles can only do so much.
I just think it's a fascinating fight to see Fury, where he's come back from the brink.
Redemption.
Basically redemption completely. And Wilder, it'd be great to see his head knocked off by Fury. It really would. I mean, just, it would be one of the great comeback stories. It'd be a little bit like Tiger Woods this year, it would build it up great
to fight Joshua. That'd be unbelievable.
So I'm going to tune in
a couple of other, just to mention briefly as well, Bernard, before we leave, a couple of specials online as well. Gone in 60 seconds, Wilder to win inside a minute 66-1, Fury to win inside a minute 150-1, and this is an interesting one here, Fury to win after being knocked down 13-2. So after being knocked down, Fury to come back to win the fight 13-2.
That's actually a bit of value. Mm-hmm. That's actually nice. Couple little take, but 66-1. Yeah, you need to put a fiver on both of them.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Nah, they'd be only toying with each other for the first
round. Wilder might actually come out and try and, you know, hit him cold, a couple of haymakers.
It might well end it early. You wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know.
And I suppose that's an angle that we haven't really seen. That does he have the chin to take a mm-hmm. punch like
Can
that?
He just gives those two again. 66-1
66-1 That's Wilder to win inside a minute.
Wow.
Fury to win inside a minute, 150-1 And the other one that caught my eye, 13-2 Fury to win after suffering a knockdown. So suffered a knockdown and to come back to win the fight by any means. So he could have the knockdown, come back and win on points, or TKO or knockout.
I like that's one of the best ones I think you've come up with, just to tease the listeners a little bit who are going to actually watch it.
I have my bet sorted for that.
Have you?
I'm going to give it to you.
Well, let's get on to the bets of the weekend. Johnny, going to start with you.
Right, I'll give a treble. So King's Vow into Sam Crowe into Manchester United.
Manchester United stronger. I wouldn't touch them.
Well, I actually going to go along with you. So anything else for your bets of the weekend, Johnny? That's a treble, okay?
Yeah, I'd say actually have a few bob each way on Brace Yourself. I think you'll run very well in the Royal Bond. Yeah.
So just recap for our listeners again.
King's Vow into Sam Crowe into Manchester United. Is Man United the half five game or the?
Saturday. It is, yeah. Oh.
Beautiful.
Everything is set for an absolute disaster at half.
They let
anyway.
Me down in the treble last week. They cost me.
I
know. I didn't listen to you, Alan, I have to say. So, go Alan, your burner. Bets of the weekend. I'll leave myself to last.
I'm going
to
go for a double with the football. I'm going to go for Huddersfield to beat Brighton at home. They're on a good run. There's
very
a bit of value
good.
At home. I like Wagner. And I love the Huddersfield supporters because they've come up with realistic expectations. And normally when a team comes up, they lose four or five games, like what we've seen with Fulham. And even though they did great work to get there, they're quickly just to dismiss the manager and get rid of him. But the fans have been absolutely brilliant despite the horrendous run. And now they've turned the corner and they're right behind Wagner. And they've always stayed with him, which I think is brilliant.
They're up to 15th. That's like, and Brighton are 12th.
He's another manager that'll be going places
absolutely.
As well. So I'm going to go for Huddersfield in a double with Spurs away from home against Arsenal. But I love Spurs. That's the double. And I'm going to go into boxing, Tyson Fury to win on points, 9-4
I like that.
Good show.
Shane, you're traveling. You're great at the American football. Come on, give it to us.
Can I throw in just a small one? Because we had to double them up last week, I'll go Sigurdsson because we were joking.
Alan, you took my bet.
Oh, sorry.
You bad man.
The Nordic great.
Listeners can go in twice.
Yeah.
You can go in twice.
Just for
double their money.
See, can we carry
their money.
On
absolutely
the
brilliant.
I'm going to go with that treble again, as mentioned on the NFL. Came up last week, so we're reinvesting from last week's.
Is it another 6-1 shot?
6-1 We're playing with Ladbrokes money this week. The Saints -7.5 The Falcons -1.5 The Rams -9 It pays 6-1 On the race in front in the Ladbrokes Trophy, Beware the Bear, who was a 33-1 shot at the start of the week, come into 20-1 four places each way. Do be wary of that extra place in our Ladbrokes shops over the weekend. So the big one, Beware the Bear. And finally, I think Sam Crowe, as Johnny mentioned, at 7-4
Get on
Sam Crowe. 7-4 about Sam Crowe in the fight in fifth Newcastle.
Who's that could be money in the bank, Johnny.
Oh, Sam Crowe second
favourite. Boover there is slight favourite.
Oh,
I think Sam Crowe will go off favourite myself.
Sorry.
Yeah. So
that'd be a hell of a race. What time is that at?
That is, what are we talking
I think
about?
It's 2:05 or 2:30
one
on Saturday.
One of my favourite races on the calendar.
And then we switch over to BBC and watch Ken and Ronnie O'Sullivan.
Happy days. And all leading up to Southampton Man United.
Then I have to fire lift for you when you arrive in, Johnny.
Oh, big Alex, I'm overdue a visit.
I think we've some cracking bets there the weekend. I'm just going to give it. I'm going to start with the Saints. I've been following the American football. I think -7.5 the 19-20
Yeah.
I think that is money in the bank. I really do. Yeah.
Now, just to mention, it is their toughest game for a while. The Cowboys are coming on the last couple of weeks.
But
even still, yep, they should win.
Okay. I'm going to give a little bit of value here. You stole my Sigurdsson. I have to scratch it out. I'm going to give it a value. I think Arsenal and Spurs a draw 13-5 Scotstown, it's a close match, but 13-8 It's up in Healy Park. My heart says Guido a little bit, but the betting is wrong here. Scotstown at 13-8 I think is value for our listeners. And I do, Johnny, at some stage, these, I won't call them live and air, I was going to call them, even though I support them, Man United have to do something. This is a match.
Honestly thought to be about 4-7 I can't believe it.
It might not be hard to say or hard to argue here that whoever loses this, the manager will be gone.
Yeah,
I wouldn't disagree with you there.
I said it a couple of weeks ago.
If
United lose, they're gone.
Yeah. If United win 10-0 I get rid of Mourinho.
If you had the sack race in the Premier League, I'd imagine Hughes would be favourite, Mourinho would be second favourite.
Man United at 20-23 I think if you just want a single punt or put it on a double with Scotstown, maybe Man United 23-20 But I like, Shane, your last one. Fury to be knocked down and to win the fight.
13-2
13-2
If he gets knocked down, Bernard, he's not getting up.
Ah, he get up. He's lost 7 stone. He has to get up. God's
the lighter
sake,
they are, the lighter they are, the easier they fall.
But just to our listeners, for a little flutter, €5, right? 66-1 and 150-1. Fury in 60 seconds.
I know we had a good week last week. I know we had a good week last week on the tipping front, but this is taking the biscuit now.
No, just a little flutter. Yeah, we've had some good bets. I think we have a few good ones. But I just think Fury, that one there, he might knock down 13-2 to win. That's the last bet of the weekend,
guys. Even just to
win
the fight, just briefly as well. Even just to win the fight, 11-8, I think.
There's value. That's a great bet. That's a great bet. He will win. He will win.
No, I'm really looking forward to it.
Outbox your man.
So we've the racing, we've the soccer, we've the GA, we've the snooker, American football.
Boxing,
guys,
everything.
Thanks a million to our listeners. Go and make a few bob.
Go, man, Bernard.
Pleasure, Bernard.
Cheers, guys.
The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.